Well, good afternoon to everyone. And for those who aren't here, I might just share a little bit. If rains and clouds were sunshine, I think I'd have a third-degree sunburn today. Now, what I want to talk about today is something that God says that we should do always. It's something that should accompany our prayers. It's also something that is definitely the will of God. It's also something that fallen angels, we have no record of them doing this. But we are told that we should don this continually. It's even something that Oprah, believe it or not, has come to see as very valuable. And she does it. And in fact, she said it's the single most important thing she's ever done in her life. Had more to do with her success than anything. It's something that is in stark contrast to what Paul describes our society when he says it's unholy and unthankful. It's something that a president thought was so important, he decided to make a national holiday out of it. Of course, that something is being thankful. Being thankful is the topic that I'd like to talk about. The topic is obviously very big and worthy of numerous sermons and sermonettes. So some aspects that we're not going to talk about, we're not going to cover what we should be thankful for, we're not going to cover how to be thankful in the midst of great sadness or tragedy, because all of life isn't, you know, happiness continually, unfortunately, probably thanks to Adam. So what we will do is we want to cover just two aspects. I figure in the time we have, we could cover two aspects of thankfulness. The first is that being thankful, certainly godly thankfulness, is a way of life. Like food coloring added to water, thankfulness should touch every aspect of our souls. It should be a part of who and what we are, not just how we feel at a moment. For those who like modern vocabulary, it's a paradigm or a pair of glasses that we should put on, and by which we view all the world through that lens. Historically, we know, even ancient Israel, they had thank offerings. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're told, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." In Colossians 2:7, we're told, or we find there, it says, "As you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving." Ephesians 5:20 says, "Give thanks for all things." Always give thanks for all things. And in 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, "I exhort, therefore, at first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men." Clearly, we don't have time to go through all the different scriptures that talk about praising and worshiping God. If we did, we'd find that almost always it incorporates also giving thanks. But God has his reasons for what he tells us to do. He doesn't just say this blindly or for no purpose. Just like when he tells us to pray, he doesn't do it so that to get strokes on his back because it makes him feel good to stroke his ego. No, he understands that when he tells us to pray, it has a benefit for us. It changes our very character, our very soul, helps us to see things that we wouldn't otherwise see. Well, being thankful is no different. It has the power to change the way we think, and it creates an environment that encourages faith and hope. Now, the contrast to being thankful is complaining, murmuring, grumbling. We all know the great example that the ancient Israelites gave us, and they were, you know, had to live in the wilderness. And God says that in Hebrews that he had to leave them there, and they all had to die because they didn't have faith. Well, the faith couldn't grow in that environment of murmuring and complaining. So the first point simply is that it's a way of life. Thankfulness is definitely a way of life. It's something that should affect our whole attitudes and the way we view the world. Secondly, godly thankfulness is more than a feeling. Now, I did toy with the idea of starting with that Boston song, "More Than a Feeling," but I didn't think it would quite fit for this set. But the message would have been apt. But so godly thankfulness is more than a feeling. People often equate being thankful with feelings of gratitude. But feelings are not enough. In Proverbs 27 and verse 5, let's go ahead and turn there. Now, Proverbs definitely give us principles that we can track with, and when we follow those principles, good things happen. So in Proverbs 27, verse 5, it simply says this: open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, we all know that open rebuke is painful, it's not very encouraging, it's not very fun. And here God is saying, even though it's all those things, it's discouraging, it's painful, that is better than secret love, because secret love has no benefit to the one being loved. Our thankfulness needs to be expressed. In Luke 17, let's turn to there. We have an interesting example that God gives us in Luke 17. And we'll begin reading in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, they'd passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, and he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 who were cleansed? Where are the other 9? And of course, you know the story. The other 9 didn't come back and give thanks. It's interesting here. I'm sure that when they were all healed, they all had feelings, warm, fuzzy feelings. They were excited about not being lepers anymore. That was a very lonely and hard lifestyle. So they all had feelings. But yet, it's only one that was thankful, that came back and gave thanks, showed thanks. And Jesus took note of the fact that one came back and expressed it and the 9 didn't. So I think thankfulness is more than just a feeling. So let's get in Proverbs 3:27, it says, withhold not good from whom it is due when it is in your power to do so. I think about, let's get real practical, let's get real concrete. Don't we all have the power to say thank you, to appreciate someone else? I mean, that's within our grasp. No matter what our economic status is, our health status, our age, we're all capable of giving thanks, of showing gratitude. You know, in church, we, you know, maybe you aren't capable or you don't like to put up the chairs, but you can show gratitude for someone that does do it, you know. I know Brett, he's here every, you know, early every time getting things set up. It's really nice. And the opportunities are really boundless that we have to show thanks and to give thanks, whether it be to our mates, even if it's things, quote unquote, people should do. Well, my daughter should get A's all the time, but I can still thank her for doing the work to get those straight A's and not dating until she's 82, but, you know. So even though it might be something someone can do, we can certainly appreciate it. And they might not have done it to us, but we can appreciate what they are doing, what they are becoming. You know, we have a lot of elderly people, and they can have a big impact on some of these young people by befriending them, knowing what's happening. It's interesting that we have this power. Today in the church, and you know, we have many different churches of God now, and some of them are really spend a lot of time because they have just a little bit more truth than we might. And I think the challenge isn't knowing more truth. I think for us, the challenge today is living what we already know, being what we already know and everyone agrees we should be. I think that's a far greater challenge and a far more significant challenge. And I think the rewards for doing that are so clear. When we express our sincere thanks and appreciation to God, several things happen. First, we come in line with what God wants for us. And secondly, we begin to change and grow in ways that we can't otherwise really grow. Those are the internal changes that happen as our way of thinking changes. And we get a perspective and the ability to see things we wouldn't otherwise see. Thirdly, we validate, encourage, and build up others. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that as you have done it unto one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And it's common knowledge that we all have needs to be validated, to be appreciated. Those are just human needs. And when we say thank you, when we notice other people, when we give sincere compliments, those things have a way of encouraging and building up and edifying one another. Sometimes, if there's been a rift between two people, sometimes that's the very catalyst that begins the healing process toward forgiveness and reconciliation. Maybe there's been one hurt here. That doesn't mean you can't compliment them there. Of course, those of us who are married, you're reminded of this all the time. There might have been one hurt here, but that doesn't take away from all the good things over there. Now, if we keep it secret, what good does it do? But when you share, it's like giving water to a flower. It can grow. So we have a great opportunity to pass out gifts and benefits to other people as well. And lastly, it brings favor to us. And I'll just close with a story. It's my own personal story. When I moved back up here from Oregon, well, I'd already sold my other window cleaning business. So I had to start all over. There's a lot of work involved in trying to build a business. And it was growing real slowly. And I thought, man, at this rate, you know, you calculate it out, we'll starve. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to get these door hangers. I had them printed up, and I made a whole little marketing plan. And we don't have time to go through all the courses of events that happened, but I became convinced that, you know, I'm too negative, I'm too critical. So forget all of this other stuff. All I'm going to do is be positive. For every one of these customers, nothing negative, nothing negative will come out of my mouth. And for the next 6 months, that's all I did. And I remember one day, it was raining cats and dogs. I was soaked to the bone, cleaning the windows. And this lady goes into the business, she goes, oh, I really feel sorry for you. And I'm thinking, yeah, so do I. But I didn't say it. I said, oh, don't feel sorry for me. I'm glad to have a job. And just think how bad I'd feel if I was this wet and couldn't pay my bills. And so as she was leaving, she goes, you know, and she had this stunned look on her face. She goes, I just got to ask, can I have a business card? And I'm thinking, oh, and I'm going to have to go all the way back to the truck. I'm going to get more wet, but who cares? I'm soaked. I didn't think anything of it. Well, that turned out to be my biggest account. That lady is worth over $10,000 a year for me. And the truth is, in those 6 months, I never asked for any business. I never handed out my business cards unless they asked for it. I never asked for any business. I didn't do anything other than try to be thankful. And in that 6 months, my business doubled. So I don't think it's because of me, but I think there's power and there's favor. When people see that you work hard and you're grateful, they go out of their way to help you. I think it's a living law that when we're thankful, that we incur both God's favor and man's favor. So in conclusion, I'd just like to say be thankful and thanks for listening.